Thank you for downloading this podcast of Ion Entertainment from Abilene Public Radio. To find more episodes and to see our terms of use, visit us online at kacu.org. From the Barton Worley Studios of Abilene Public Radio, this is Ion Entertainment. Welcome to another Friday, set to kick off a great weekend. I'm Blaine Singletary, and boy, oh boy, is a theater season getting off to an early start. First, we're joined in the studio by Mike Stevens and Elise Pryor Hardin, who are involved with the ACT's first production of the year with the emotionally driven Wit.
It covers a woman really discovering life as she's losing hers. And Elise can say it a lot better, but the character actually tells you in the first 3 minutes of the play that she's dead by the end of it.
And we'll take a tour of other shows happening around town. Two classics, one done by nationally touring actors, and one done by children. We'll look into that and more today in Ion Entertainment right after this look at today's entertainment headlines. Diversity is king at the Sundance Film Festival, and queen, too. For the first time, half of the films featured were made by women. Festival founder Robert Redford says diversity is the point of the independent film showcase. That's further evidenced this year by contributions from 32 countries and 51 first-time filmmakers. Redford and lead members of his Sundance staff opened the 11-day festival Thursday with a news conference at the Egyptian Theater in Park City, Utah, where the festival has been held since 1981. The festival begins in earnest Thursday night with screenings of four films. Screenings, workshops, parties, and schmoozing will continue through January 27th. In other news, a collection of works by the late children's author Maurice Sendak is coming to a New York City auction. Swan Auction Gallery says many of the works at the January 24th sale are signed. Sendak died May 8, 2012, at age 83. Among the highlights is a first edition of Where the Wild Things Are. The inscription includes a drawing. The work has a pre-sale estimate of $7,000 to $15,000. The seller is the late Reed Orenstein, a longtime Sendak collector and bookseller. He gave Sendak an early copy of one of the author's own books that he didn't possess himself. In gratitude, Sendak gave Orenstein inscribed copies of his books. The auction also will have works by Dr. Seuss, Beatrix Potter, and others. Finally, moving back to film, Oscar-winning actor Denzel Washington isn't taking his sixth nomination for granted, saying he's just happy that people still value his work. Washington, who is in London for the UK premiere of Flight last night, is a Best Actor contender at the Academy Awards for playing an alcoholic pilot, Whip Whitaker, in the film. The 58-year-old American already has two Oscars to his name for Glory in 1989, Training Day in 2001. His other nominations came from City Freedom, Malcolm X, and The Hurricane. Washington says, quote, "It still feels good to know that people appreciate what you're doing." After adding pilot to his long list of on-screen professions, where can Washington go next? He says, perhaps, a milkman. Flight is released in the UK and Ireland on February 1st. And that's all for this look at today's entertainment headlines. Stay tuned, there's more Ion Entertainment on the way. From Abilene Public Radio, this is Ion Entertainment. I'm Blaine Singletary. Last week, we previewed the Abilene Community Theater's first show of the year, Wit. It's the story of a woman re-examining her life in its last moments. This moving drama won the Pulitzer Prize in 1999 as it continued to touch audiences' lives. Joining us in the studio today is Mike Stevens, director of this production, and Elise Pryor Hardin, who plays the role of Dr. Vivian Baring in this show. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
So this is a smaller show, I mean, a smaller cast, rather. It's a one act, but it is a very long one act.
It is.
And it also covers very heavy matters and very, very emotional, too.
Absolutely. It covers a woman really discovering life as she's losing hers. And Elise can say it a lot better, but the character actually tells you in the first 3 minutes of the play that she's dead by the end of it. She promises that to the audience.
And that was a brilliant stroke on the part of Margaret Edson when she wrote it, because it removes that from the equation. So people are not sitting and wondering. They will go with you, and they can go on that journey. And when I was researching about the play and its background, I did find a couple of interviews with Margaret Edson, and she's a highly, highly intelligent woman, but she doesn't speak a lot about the play, but she sums it up in one statement when she says, "This is one woman's journey toward grace." It's talking about the big issues.
Yes.
And through her filter, which is she is a scholar of John Donne, the Holy Sonnets, which were written between 1609 and 1610, and they all explore various aspects of mortality.
They take on a completely different meaning,
yes,
even though she's
do.
Looked at them for years.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, they do.
As she's... There's a wonderful moment where Vivian, Elise as Vivian, quotes this one short portion of a sonnet and says, "That's always been a favorite of mine. Now I don't know that I like it because it's too close to home." That's a paraphrase.
But that's a paraphrase.
But she says that.
You'll want to come to the show to hear the real line.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
I'm not the one who had to memorize it.
But Mike, your role in directing here, it must have been a massive undertaking to coach these actors into these very heavy roles.
It really was. But part of the directing process is finding that cast that you can work with. And me, I take the easy road. I'm going to get the best actors I can who I don't have to coach that much. And so in bringing Elise in as Vivian, I gave just a few things saying, this is what I would like to see in the character of Vivian Baring. Now you flesh her out. Renee Clark plays the part of Professor Evelyn Ashford, who is Vivian Baring's mentor. And again, I just gave Renee a few notes here and there saying, this is what I would like to see. This is some of the physical characteristics. You fill in the rest of the gaps. Even with my ensemble characters, we've got four performers who play four and five characters each. With them, they have their basic roles. But I said, now, even though your characters are only on stage a couple of minutes, 4 or 5 minutes at the most each, I want to know backgrounds. I want to know what your character's name is besides Student One. What is your background? Why are you doing this? Why are you in Professor Baring's class? And all my cast members came through with wonderful characterizations of these characters, which bring the story that much more to life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And in bringing it to life, too, just seeing from you, Elise, you have actually shaved your head for this role.
Yeah. It looks good on radio, doesn't it?
It looks good off radio.
I have shaved my head. Many people endure truly awful side effects from the treatment that they go through in cancer. And I can't lose 25 pounds and throw up everything in sight and all of that. But the one thing that I can do for people who have gone through this is I can shave my head and bring that part of realism to it. And so I did.
And aside from this, how did you prepare for this role?
I really, 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 really worked on memorizing my lines.
And the director said, thank you, thank you, thank you.
a great deal of it. I had extensive training in Shakespeare after I graduated college and had received a theater degree. I did some additional workshops, which really plunged me into how to scan, how to manipulate and use and to speak verse correctly. And John Donne, his poetry is also in iambic pentameter. So the basis of handling the text was already there. But just the normal actor's disciplines of trying to stay physically strong, making sure that I warmed up vocally before rehearsals. I would, carry on in the car on my way over. And then just the research. And it was almost more of the research into the play in addition to the research of John Donne's life and some of his writings.
What would you say is the main draw of this show?
The naturalness of it. It really is a real story. It's not based on a true story, but it's based on the story of everybody who has been diagnosed with cancer. Not necessarily even of this type, but it really does give a realistic approach to what they go through and the changes that they could easily see. Not the losing of hair through chemotherapy, but the need for interaction with other people. Elise quotes Margaret Edson as saying it's a story of one woman's journey to grace. I look at it as very much a story of redemption. Because when you first see Vivian Baring interacting with people, she's a haughty and proud woman mm-hmm. who has insulated herself from life around her in her scholarship, in her discipline, in her exactness, in her intelligence. And by the end of the play, she says that's not enough. And she is desperate for a chance to reach out to the people around her. And it really is a growing, wonderful story, even though you know what happens in the end.
This really isn't your typical community theater play.
Absolutely not. It is not a comedy. It is not a farce. It is not a lighthearted musical. This play punches for the gut. There are moments when you will smile. There are moments when folks who have had a chance to sit in on parts of rehearsals have laughed out loud at some of the moments that happen. But that's how life is. Life is not always just completely serious. There are going to be moments of laughter. There are going to be moments of tears. And this runs the gamut. But it doesn't hold the punches either.
Mm-mm. I think, as I've described it to some people, it is not a Hallmark Channel story about one woman's journey with cancer. Some people will say, well, I didn't want her to die. I didn't want that to happen. But I think most people who have gone down the journey with someone with cancer or who have had cancer themselves will say, thank you for telling the truth.
Well, Mike Stevens and Elise Pryor Hardin, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you again for having
us. You're entirely welcome. Thank you.
That's Elise Pryor Hardin and Mike Stevens of the ACT's production of Wit. Opening night was last night, but you can catch it tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30, as well as next week, Thursday through Saturday, and the week after that, Friday and Saturday. For more information, AbilineCommunityTheater.com. If you happen to catch last year's unveiling of this season's Broadway and Abilene lineup, you probably noticed a number of gems coming up this time around. We'll see the likes of Spamalot coming up next month, but coming up next Wednesday, the Abilene Civic Center plays host to West Side Story. This is easily one of the most iconic Broadway musicals of all time. It was one of the now legendary Stephen Sondheim's first musicals he worked on. Together with Leonard Bernstein, they created a production filled with songs many people still sing along with today. Songs like I Feel Pretty, America, and Tonight. If I haven't gotten these songs stuck in your head just from this short preview, that may change when the show comes to town this Wednesday night at 7:30 in the Abilene Civic Center. For ticket information, celebrityattractions.com. Also on the way this weekend is a special production of Beauty and the Beast. It's known as a children's story, and Disney's animated films is a children's classic. But it's not often that you find a production of this where the entire cast is children. That's the case here, as the Paramount Theater presents Beauty and the Beast, Jr. The Paramount has been known for its children's adaptations of popular stage musicals. The entire cast is made up of children ages 8 to 14. I remember that being about the time that the theater bug bit me, and I'd hazard that at least a few of these kids will go on to fun-filled and perhaps challenging careers after this show. You never know. Either way, it's a classic fairy tale about accepting others for what they have on the inside rather than outward appearances. It shows tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30 with a Sunday matinee at 2 at the historic Paramount Theater. For ticket information, 676-9620 or on the web at paramount-abilene.org. And that's all the time we have for today. Thanks again for joining me, and join us again next week for even more information and conversations about entertainment in our area and beyond. ION Entertainment is a production of Abilene Public Radio and the JMC Network. The show is recorded and produced at the Barton Worley Studios in the Don Morris Building on the campus of Abilene Christian University in Abilene, Texas. As always, I'm Blaine Singletary, and as long as theatrical productions entertain and involve people of all ages, I'll have my eye on entertainment. We're no strangers to love. You know the rules, and so do I. A full commitment's what I'm thinking of. You wouldn't get this from any other guy. Thank you for downloading this podcast of ION Entertainment from Abilene Public Radio. To find more episodes and to see our terms of use, visit us online at kacu.org.